Nice to see everyone tonight. Hope you're all in good spirits. What does it mean to be in good spirits? To be in good spirits means that you're happy glorifying Lord Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that those who are mahatmas, great souls, what do? They're always engaged in glorifying Lord Krishna. Now, it may be hard for you to understand, how can it be possible that we're always engaged in glorifying Lord Krishna? You may have that fear because you don't understand the full glories of Lord Krishna. Generally, people that we know, they have limited good things about them. Pick your favorite person. Don't have to say who that is. Could you go on speaking the glories of your favorite person for, 2 hours? Try it. Your favorite person in terms of family member or friend. In the material sense, can you go on glorifying that person for an hour or two without stopping and not get tired? Nor stop. Because living entities are limited. But Krishna, because he's unlimited and has unlimited glories, you can go on talking about Krishna hour after hour, day after day, year after year, lifetime after lifetime, and you'll never get to the end. And because Krishna's devotees are perfectly in relation to Krishna, you can also go on talking about the glories of Krishna's devotees. So, between talking about Krishna and talking about Krishna's devotees, the life of a devotee is full. Then in the beginning you may feel insecure. Okay, I'm taking to Krishna consciousness. I'm starting to chant Hare Krishna a little bit. I'm coming to the Wednesday program. I'm coming to the Sunday program. All these things will be going on. Or even I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some years. Still, there may be some anxiety. Will I always be satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Just like this little child here. This child is not always going to be satisfied acting like this. You all, when you were little kids, you acted like this. But now it no longer satisfies you. Try it. Would any of you get up and run around like that? And they go to mother, is that the mother? And, you know, on her face and run back at the father. And we go to him, and then, you know, everyone understands this is a little child, and soon the child will outgrow it. The child will no longer be satisfied by that behavior, right? You would not be satisfied acting in this way. There is a fear sometimes that maybe I won't be satisfied acting in Krishna consciousness after a while. You look around and the whole world is doing something else. And who are you to go a different route, a different path? Sometimes you may tell that to yourself. Yes, it is true. I became materially exhausted, struggling in material life. Yes, it's true, I was looking for something more meaningful in life. But now, after some time of practicing Krishna consciousness, I wonder, will I go on and on like this, or will I get tired of it? Will I outgrow it? Will I outgrow Krishna? It's like this little child outgrows this behavior. Will you outgrow Krishna? You should think about that. If you properly act in your relationship with Krishna, it is not possible to outgrow Krishna, because Krishna is ever fresh. You see, anything that is in this world is ruled by time, and it is time that spoils all the fun. Many of you probably have scratched your head trying to understand, what is it that makes everything go sour in this world? I'm sure you've all had times in this world in which you almost were happy. Right on the edge of being happy, you thought, and satisfied. And even sometimes, you got the things you wanted. That's not often. But everyone, and remember, sometimes when you got the things you wanted, and then you watched as time just made things grow stale, made them lose the flavor. Yes, the culprit is time. But most people don't understand that. They just get bewildered. What happened? Today, I don't like anymore what I used to like last year. Last year I was in love, but now the thrill is gone. What has happened? Everyone's had that experience with things, with emotions, that the freshness disappears. And rather than blame time, you blame everyone and everything else. It's your fault. You're not acting in the same way anymore. You've changed. When you say someone has changed, what are you really saying? Time has moved on. Or, just like, this is a mobile phone. How many years will you keep it? 1 year if you're lucky, right? You gotta change, right? Upgrade, right? It's time. Time is introducing complications in your life. So, you can't just be satisfied with one thing. You notice things move on. Well, what is it that's moving? It's time. Similarly, in a relationship, at first you're feeling electricity in the air. And then after a while, things become the same. And you blame the other person, right? You've lost the loving feeling. You don't look the same anymore. You don't act the same anymore. What you're really saying is time has moved on, but no one blames time. Once you understand time is the culprit and that you should blame time, then you'll look for a way to act in which you won't be victimized by time. That is what the Krishna conscious person does. The Krishna conscious person knows how to live a lifestyle free from the destruction brought about by time. See, it's time that's spoiling all your attempts at happiness. Time separates you from what you want. You see the three divisions of time, past, present, and future, yesterday, today, tomorrow, they keep you from getting what you want. Oh, yesterday I almost had it, but now it's today. Or today, I think I have it, but what about tomorrow? This is victimization by time. Everything is always unstable. Everything is always changing. You just can't keep your hands on what you want if you do get it. And most of the time you don't get what you want. The devotee of Lord Krishna understands it is time that's causing all my problems. I've got to seek out a lifestyle that makes me immune to time. Just like people want to become immune to diseases. Similarly, we want to become immune to time. We want our system to not be attacked by time. Just like you want your physical body to not be attacked by disease. People who are into alternative health, they're always talking about their immune system. You've heard that before? Immune system? Oh, my immune system is down. Therefore, I easily get a cold or I got the flu. So, how do you become immune to time? That is the intelligent person's question. One who's always absorbed in Krishna's glories escapes the ravages of time. That's the only way. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Shivadeva Goswami explains, Aya Harati Vayagumsam Bhuja Hasta Jayamaso. This Sanskrit verse means that the sun is rising, the sun is setting. Everyone knows it, yes, sunrise, sunset. But how many of you think that every time the sun rises and sets, your life is being diminished? Do you all think like that when you see the sunrise and the sunset? Now you may think, oh, it's a beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset. No one thinks the sunrise and the sunset is stealing my life away. But Srimad Goswami and Srimad Bhagavatam points that out. You're being robbed by the changing of the days and nights. Just like night has fallen. So, your life is lessened. There's only one person, Srimad Goswami says, who escapes the plundering by time. And that is the one who's always glorifying Krishna. Glorifying Krishna makes you immune to the attacks of time. That's why you like it when you chant Hare Krishna. You may not be on the highest devotional platform to feel ecstatic love of Krishna yet, but certainly when you chant Hare Krishna, you immediately notice, I feel a relief from anxiety. I feel outside the influence of time. I feel like I'm in a special dimension. Actually, when you chant Hare Krishna, you're associated with Krishna. And that you'll realize more and more as you seriously chant the whole chant. But everyone who has any good fortune, when they chant Hare Krishna, they immediately notice the anxieties have gone away. That means you're escaping the influence of time. It is time that produces a sense of anxiety in you. I'm losing what I have. And I'm not getting what I want. This is time deteriorating everything. Simultaneously, we have this desire for pleasure. Can anyone here deny that? Who will deny it? Yeah, desire for pleasure. Anyone here will stand up and say, I have no desire for pleasure. Anyone? Of course not. The question, therefore, is, how is it possible that you have this desire for pleasure and at the same time you're living in an atmosphere of time? It's a contradiction. Desire for pleasure and time is deteriorating everything, destroying everything. You see the great contradiction in life? Sometimes you may ask yourself, why do I desire pleasure when I'm living in the realm of time, which destroys everything? Why do I have this desire for pleasure? Did any of you ever wonder that? Why do I have a desire for pleasure? You have that desire for pleasure because you are part of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme expert at pleasure. Because we are tiny parts of Krishna, we also have the pleasure-seeking tendency in us. But we're looking for pleasure in the wrong place. That is the source of our problems. We're looking for pleasure in a place ruled by time. So your whole life can be understood in terms of this contradiction. I seek pleasure, but time is destroying everything. That's the story of your life in a nutshell. As soon as I get what I want, time takes it away. This is what produces the frustration and the hurt in you, life after life after life. What is the only solution? To finally wake up and understand that I cannot find pleasure in the material atmosphere because the material atmosphere is ruled by time. I have to look for pleasure in the source of all pleasure, Krishna. Krishna is beyond time. Time is the insignificant potency of Lord Krishna. It doesn't control him. It's his energy. So, when you glorify Krishna, you're becoming free from the influences of time. That's why devotees have real happiness. They're not under the gun of time. How would you like it if someone said, okay, I want you to be happy while I'm pointing this gun at you? It is a fact that this gun will go off at some time. You don't know. But anyway, don't worry about it. Just go on and be happy. How would that feel? You wouldn't like this, would you? Say, get the gun out of here, you know? Then I can be happy. But this is what goes on in material life. The gun of time is pointing at you, but everyone's busy enjoying. They don't pay attention to the gun. You know, just like in the USA, in parts of the USA where there's a death penalty. Do you have the death penalty here for murders? So, in parts of the USA they have. And on the day that you're going to be executed, whether it's in the gas chamber or lethal injection or however they're doing it, the morning of your execution, you're allowed to have a last meal of whatever you want. Now, would you be able to enjoy that? Yeah, whatever you want. Pizza, you know, most prisoners, they ask for steak. Last taste of fresh steak and potatoes, followed by ice cream. Could you enjoy it? At 12 noon, you're going to be executed by lethal injection. I'm going to strap you in a chair and then inject you with something that's going to kill you. But now it's 8 o'clock in the morning. You can have whatever you like for breakfast. How would you feel? But suppose I said, you can enjoy now as long as you work for it. And at any moment, you're going to die. What would you say? What would you say? Well, that's all right. That's life, right? Yeah, so what? The point is I have a chance to work hard for enjoyment. And death, we don't know when it will come, so that's just life. That's the real world. Why are you Hare Krishnas trying to escape the real world? Now, the prisoner who's going to be executed, he knows 12 noon, that's it. So what are you thinking? This guy can't enjoy his last meal. I don't want to be an executioner. But we do not know when our end is, but we're very eager to enjoy. This is how much illusion we're in. We don't know whether we have 10 years left, 50 years left, or 5 minutes left, right? Does anyone know here for sure? Still, we have this big enjoying propensity. I want to be happy. And what does everyone think? I'm not asking for much. I just need this, I need this, I need this, and this. That's all. I'm not greedy. The other people are greedy. I just want a few things necessary. and then I'll be happy. It's not possible to be happy in this world as long as you have no program for dealing with time. This is the value of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's handbook for getting real pleasure. Pleasure that's not spoiled by the influence of time. So Krishna tells you, those who are the best persons, the most intelligent persons, what do? They're always chanting my glories. Satatam kittayam doma. They're always talking about me, hearing about me, discussing me, reading about me, singing about me. Just by doing that, you're free from the influence of time and your pleasure-seeking capacity is fully satisfied. Simply by talking about Krishna. So this is your future as you become older in devotional service. More and more, you're going to get security and confidence that I can be happy just by talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna. That day will come. This is the easiest way to live in this world. The simplest way, the most pleasurable way. And the pleasure of hearing about Krishna ever increases. It cannot be affected by material circumstances. No economic or political or biological situation can affect your ability to hear about Krishna and experience ever-increasing happiness. Therefore, it's quite obvious that if you can make your hobby, make your occupation, hearing about Krishna, discussing Krishna, then you are safe. That is the program Krishna is offering in Bhagavad Gita. You'll be safe simply by taking shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra and Krishna's glories. But you need confidence, and I can understand that in the beginning there's going to be some insecurity. How long can I really go on like this? I mean, not many people are doing this. Do I have the support of my family and old friends? I don't know. In the beginning, you're a little shaky. The one thing you do remember in the beginning is that I was exhausted living a material life. There was no point to it. But sometimes, our older devotees, after a while in Krishna consciousness, they forget their material exhaustion from the past. And they look on the material world with fresh eyes, like, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. A little passion, a little ignorance won't do any harm. How do we avoid falling into a rut as the years go by in Krishna consciousness? Well, just like any other relationship, you've got to work at it. Some of you maybe have been married for a while. Anyone here been married for a while? How many years? 12. Well, you have to work at it, right? You can't just be passive, right? Similarly, in order to avoid getting in a rut with your Krishna consciousness, you've got to work at it. You can't take Krishna to be impersonal. What would happen in your marriage if you took it impersonally? I don't have to be caring. I don't have to be sensitive. I don't have to pay attention to how you feel. What would happen then? Fall to pieces. Yes. Similarly, although we are never separated from Krishna, we'll fall into illusion of separation from Krishna if we're insensitive to Krishna. This is the devotee's greatest fear. I don't want to forget Krishna. Have you ever had that fear before, Daniel? I don't want to forget this person. Now, generally, I think people have a fear that I don't want this person to forget me. Right? But it happens, right? But the devotee has a fear, I don't want to forget Krishna. I want to always remember how to be sensitive to Krishna, to be attuned to Krishna's glory so that the relationship will deepen and I can see the ever freshness of Lord Krishna. That's the desire of the devotee. Now, there's something interesting that goes on as the years go by in Krishna consciousness. This secret is revealed in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is stated that, because you may wonder, how can we do the same things year after year in Krishna consciousness? Don't we get tired of it? What's going on in Bhakti Yoga? This is revealed in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. The super soul in your heart makes everything ever fresh. So much so, you could be doing the same activity every day from the external point of view. But because the Lord in the heart is there, He's allowing you to see newer and newer visions of the spiritual world, even though externally you're doing the same thing every day. This is the secret of the devotee. The devotee has a different vision than a non-devotee. Often, non-devotees think, how can you people do what you're doing every day? Every day, chanting Hare Krishna. The same words, Hare Krishna, Rama. Every day, you're basically doing the same program. Glorifying Krishna, talking about Krishna, telling others about Krishna. How can you go on like that year after year? It is completely possible because activities for Krishna's service are not under the influence of time. Therefore, they don't become stale. They increase in spiritual excitement because Krishna is ever fresh. What is the most attractive thing about Krishna? When you say God, what do you mean? Do you mean God is the creator, or God is the maintainer, or God is the destroyer? What do you mean about God? The first thing we should understand, and always remember, is that God means the supreme enjoyer. To be the supreme enjoyer, that means you have to be a person. We like to enjoy. Everyone here will agree, I like to enjoy, I just can't find real pleasure. But Krishna has no problems with his enjoyment. Another definition of God is that he has all the potencies to fulfill all of his desires. Now just think about yourself. You have desires. But do you have the potencies to fulfill all of your desires? No. Therefore, there's disappointment. There are problems. But Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has all the unlimited potencies to fulfill his unlimited desires. You can't imagine what it's like to have unlimited desires. You can't think about it. Try. Unlimited desires. All you can remember is that I've had a few desires in life and they've been frustrated for the most part. And even when I got what I desired, time made it become stale. So this is the problem with our tiny desiring capacity. But Krishna has unlimited desires. And he has the unlimited ability, the unlimited potency to satisfy his unlimited desires. That is God. In Sanskrit, this propensity is known as Swaraj Lakshmi, the ability to fulfill one's every desire. That is God. Now, because we're having trouble with desires in this world, we like to think of a God who has no desires. It's like we want to do a favor to God. You don't have desires. because, you know, look, we have desires and we're having so many problems. So if you're God, you can't have desires because that would be problems for you. Now, Krishna has unlimited desires and not the slightest problem. And he comes from the spiritual world to this material world to display his pleasure pastimes. To show you, I'm a person. I have qualities. I have activities. I have a form, but no problems. That is God. And what is the most attractive form of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Teenager. Now, how many of you remember your teenage years? Some of you are teenagers here? Any teenagers here? So, teenage years are a problematic time.
Yes.
Right? You don't know. What is my identity? What are the changes that are coming over my body and mind? How do I act in relation to others? How do others think of me? This is teenage years. Especially nowadays, as traditional families are breaking down, even amongst Indian families, traditions are breaking down, teenage years are becoming wild. So, teenage years are a time of great confusion. Most teenagers, unless they come from very structured families and the children are very good and very behaved and don't do any experimentation whatsoever. Is that the way the teenagers are here? No experimentation whatsoever. No dumb things if you do. Everyone knows. When you're a teenager, generally you do some things that are very embarrassing. You don't think about it. More and more, as society becomes ruled by lust, anger, and greed, teenage years are becoming more and more destructive. It's like, for example, New Zealand. It's a beautiful country from the point of view of scenery, but the teenagers are so disturbed because they're growing up in situations in which there's no standard. No one knows what to do. Their parents have no idea how to raise them. The parents just tell their kids, whatever you do, just be happy. We want you to be happy. We're good parents. We simply want that you to be happy. However you find happiness, do that, and we'll be satisfied. That's the first mantra that they give to their parents, excuse me, their children. That's first initiation. And what is second initiation? As the children get late into their teens, the parents tell them, whatever it is, just follow your dream. That's it. First initiation, second initiation, no more knowledge. That's it. Whatever makes you happy, and follow your dreams. So, obviously, their children are so confused. As soon as the children are 11, 12 years old, they're doing everything. Everything. By the time they're 20, 21, they're totally burnt out. Minds and bodies destroyed. They've tried every type of sense gratification, every type of drug. And by the time they're 21, it's like, what do I have to look forward to in life? So this is becoming the teenage reality around the world. I was talking with some of you a few nights ago. We were talking about England. One of the lady devotees was working in England. And I said, well, how does England compare to here? And she said, oh, England, oh, wild. They start so young. At 11 years old, they just go completely wild. So how is it here? Not so bad. Not so bad. Starting at 16. Then another goes, another 15. It's going down. The age goes down. So teenage years are becoming a disaster all over the world. Teenagers are curious. They're feeling pressure from their friends. They want to experiment. They're full of mental and physical anxieties. And they are always thinking how to try to fulfill those or satisfy those anxieties. What about Krishna? What is the nature of God? A very wonderful name of Krishna is Kishore Shekhar, the best of teenagers. Kishore Shekhar. That means Krishna has no problem in teenage years. The time that gives everyone else complete anxiety and problems, Krishna revels as a teenager. He has all the pleasure without the slightest bit of distress. That is God. The ever-fresh teenager. Just think about it, how obvious the truth is. Everyone dreams of perfect teenage years, perfect teenage romance, perfect teenage friends. Krishna has it unlimitedly, without the slightest problem. His family relations are perfect. His friendship relations are perfect. His romantic relationships are perfect. Everything is perfect for Krishna's teenage years. That is God. Navayovana. He never ages beyond the young man. Krishna knows how to have fun. You want to be fun? Never age beyond the young man. You've tried doing that. You cannot. As a young man, you'll be in such anxiety, and then you'll grow older. Krishna has the form of a young man, but never in anxiety, and does not grow older, because he has a spiritual body. This is the reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Life without the influence of time. And Krishna is inviting you to partake of this kind of life. Oh, but we are so attached to our struggles in this temporary world. The illusory energy is so powerful. Just forget Krishna and struggle. Yes, yes. Okay. That makes sense. Everyone else is struggling. I should struggle too. Why should I try to be Krishna conscious? Not many are doing that. So there's always this pull that you feel. Just like as soon as you go out the door tonight, you'll feel the pull. Right now we're talking about Krishna. It's like a bubble over us. We're protected from time. We're protected from the attacks of Maya, the illusory energy. But as soon as you go out the door, you're hit with it again. And what are you hit with? You're assaulted with the material energy, which is trying to get you to forget Krishna. This is what's upsetting you. And sometimes you wonder, why is it? When I was in the kirtan, I was feeling so good. But then as soon as I started going home, taking the taxi, I started to think, wait a minute, can it really be true? Kishore Shekhar, the best of the teenagers, serving personality, got it. What about those four rules? The regular principles, can I really follow those? I mean, year after year after year? I don't know. We're living in the material world. Material world means it inspires forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, we always have to be around devotees, because devotees remind us of Krishna, and then everything is so clear. Of course! Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Person, unlimited desires, unlimited abilities to satisfy his desires, the cause of all causes. Govindavadi Purusham Tam Brahmajami. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the solution to solve all our identity problems. Be a Mahatma, a great soul. And how do you act as a great soul? Always chant my glories. You can take anything Krishna does, any of his activities, you'll never get to the end of understanding it or relishing it. Try it, and then you'll see the truth of Krishna consciousness. All right. Any questions? The famous question board is coming. All right. Is there really such a thing as transcendental anxiety? If so, what is the difference between material and spiritual anxiety? Everything emanates from Krishna, Janmadaya Siddhava. That is stated in Vedanta Sutra and in Bhagavatam. The absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead, is that from whom everything emanates. Everything comes from Krishna. That means, in the perfect spiritual world, there's also anxiety. In Vrindavan, there's anxiety. Mother Yashoda is in anxiety about Krishna. My little child, Krishna, he's crawling on the ground. He might crawl on something sharp. He might injure himself in this way or that way. She's in anxiety. But anything in relation to Krishna has the purifying effect. So it's not like material anxiety, although it's anxiety, it's of a different quality. Mahesh is in anxiety. Krishna's been out playing with his cowherd boyfriends in the forest all day. He's hungry. He must have sand and other dirt all over his body. He needs a bath. He's been playing too long. It's anxiety. But because it's perfectly in relation to Krishna, the anxiety is purely spiritual. So yes, in the spiritual world there's anxiety. And devotees begin to understand what spiritual anxiety is as they start to render devotional service to Krishna. How are we going to make this house serve the best purpose for Krishna's pleasure? How can we arrange this house so that so many people will come to hear about Krishna consciousness? You can have that anxiety, which is good. How can we serve Krishna the best way? That kind of anxiety is uplifting. But as soon as you're in anxiety about your own sense gratification, when I was individual, what about me? When am I going to get this for me and that for me? I'm enlightened. But when you practice bhakti yoga, what is bhakti yoga? Sense activity for Krishna's pleasure. When you have anxiety for Krishna's pleasure, how to use my senses for Krishna's pleasure, that anxiety is, first of all, it's purifying, and as it gets purer and purer, it's completely spiritual. So yes, there really is such a thing as transcendental anxiety. And we have explained the difference. Material anxiety is for your own pleasure, which can never really be had. Spiritual anxiety is for Krishna's pleasure. How is Krishna going to enjoy what I'm doing? What does the Bhagavad Gita say about reincarnation?
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Jatasya idruva mitya dhruva janma mrityasya cha.
For one who has taken birth, death is certain.
Everyone knows that.
But Krishna also says, for one who has died, birth is certain. So first understand that. Things come in cycles. What is born must die. What dies must be born. That is the cycle of samsara, repeated birth and death. Now in Europe and the USA, there's a best-selling ladies' perfume called Samsara. You can go to the duty-free shop and buy it. Samsara perfume. You can put on Samsara perfume and think, I don't care if I take birth after birth as long as I can smell like this for a few moments. So yes, Krishna explains about reincarnation in Bhagavad Gita. And the intelligent person thinks, I want to know what is the process for getting my next body, because I want to make sure that I get a good body in my next life. That's how an intelligent person thinks. Some of you, yes, anyone here, everyone, you live somewhere, you have a house, either you rent or you own a house. Everyone lives in a house somewhere. So, let us say, I said to Shamsun, you can stay in your house now, but the contract says at any moment you can be kicked out. And what your next house will be, you don't know. How secure would you feel?
Anxiety.
Yes, exactly. Every day your wife is saying to you, what's our next house going to be? We can be kicked out at any moment. Don't worry. Just right now, everything is okay. But we can be kicked out. We don't know when. We have that kind of deal. What's the next house going to be? Oh, please, let us just pass the days feeling good in the present moment. No, your wife would never accept that. She'd become very angry. Go complain to her father. Her father would call you up.
Transunder.
You're not properly caring for your family. You have no program for what the next house is going to be. And what will you say? But sir, we're happy right now. Everything is all right now. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. No one will accept this. But if I say, any moment you're going to die, and what will your next body be? Don't worry. It'll be all right. It's like, opinion polls show that in the USA, 80% of the people think they're going to heaven after death. We don't know what's going to happen, but we'll... If there's a heaven, we're sure to go there. This is the ignorance that people live in. And they call themselves practical. A practical man, a practical lady, they would pride themselves. We have our next house already picked out. We know about the property values in the area of our new home. We've got a solid investment. No doubt about it. Then you gather, you go to social gatherings, and yes, we have understood the housing markets. We are well positioned. Everyone nods their head. Good fellow. We are born into a very nice area. And in 10 years, the values will be rising. Yeah, my family is very nicely positioned. What about you? But when it comes to the next life plane, zero. Well, whatever the Lord wants, we don't know, but you know, something nice will happen. We're so practical about unimportant things, and we're impractical about the most important thing. What will my next body be? The truly practical person has a plan. Yes, we've got it all sorted out. The next body is going to be much better. Much better investment. So try that amongst your family and friends. Talk about your future investment. Yes, we're going to be moving from this body to another body. And definitely the next body is going to be much better. Higher value. See what your reaction is.
What? What are you talking about?
So I'm explaining this so you understand how practical Krishna consciousness is. It's not pie in the sky. You have that expression, your pie in the sky? It's right in front of your nose, right in front of your eyes. It's life as it is. Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nectar. I need to know about HIV, AIDS infected souls. Do they make any sort of advancement? Should they chant the mantra a few times in the year? This chanting takes place during kirtan, when we see these souls at special gatherings. How can these souls advance spiritually? First of all, no soul becomes infected. It is the body that becomes infected. And in this material world, everyone's body is affected by birth, death, disease, and old age. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, darshana, darshana. Someone who is actually intelligent, they see the fault of material existence. What is the fault of material existence? These four things are always spoiling your attempts at pleasure. Birth, death, disease, old age. So, those things infect the body. Disease comes in different varieties, but it still is disease, whether it's HIV or VIH. Disease is disease. Do you think it's worse to die of HIV than to have another kind of death? No, death is death. Sometimes people have this illusion that if you die in your sleep at night, that's a very nice death. Read in newspapers like that, so-and-so died peacefully in their sleep. How do they know what was going on? This is all from external ignorant point of view. That person could be going through complete terror, but because you just see the body, one minute it's asleep, breathing, next minute the breathing stops, you think, oh, what a peaceful death. No, you don't see what's going on inside, in the mind, in the consciousness. So whether it's this kind of death from HIV or VIH, death is unwanted. And what is our program so that we make this death the last death? So everyone has a body infected by the modes of material nature, and everyone through Krishna consciousness can become purified. Everyone should chant Hare Krishna because everyone is infected by material illusion. Okay? I have been diagnosed with some kind of disorder. Can't read it, but it says. I wonder, with a disorder, will chanting more rounds be helpful? Well, as I already explained, everyone has been diagnosed with a disorder in this world. Look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror and you see a material body, you should know, I have a disorder. It may be of this variety or that variety, but having a material body means disorder. You can put some sour perfume on your body. You can change your hairstyle. You can have your new mobile phone that vibrates in this way, that way, in your pocket. Still, if you see a material body in the mirror, you see a disorder. So the next question is, what are you going to do about it? And for everyone with a disorder, chanting Hare Krishna, of course, is helpful. Please, Maharaj, you said that Paramatma in the heart always makes everything new. But what about the spiritual world where Paramatma is absent? Is everything ever fresh due to the personal presence of Krishna? Yes. When you are directly associating with Krishna, there's no time influencing the situation. Therefore, there's no deterioration. Krishna's glories are ever expanding, and your relationship with Krishna is ever expanding. This is what you're seeking in the material world. You want love that's ever expanding, but you're not going to get it because the material world is ruled by time. When you're with Krishna in the spiritual world, whatever your relationship is, you're happy. Even if you're a flower, what are you thinking as a flower in the spiritual world? Now I'm a flower. Someone has picked me and put me at Krishna's feet. I'm completely satisfied. And because there's no influence of time there, the flowers don't deteriorate. So you're an ever fresh flower. There's no influence of time. Any other questions? So please understand the great advantage of Krishna consciousness. The more you glorify Krishna, the more your life will improve. You'll become free from material anxiety. You will not waste your life. Your life will continuously increase in spiritual understanding. That is the benediction of chanting Hare Krishna. Day after day, year after year, decade after decade, Hare Krishna. That's your life. So those who are devotees, just admit, this is my life. Chanting Hare Krishna, glorifying Krishna. Mahatmanas dimam pata, dainim prakritimasrita. That's it. Stick to it, you'll see. Don't worry. You have to understand the way this world is. The material nature will always be making propositions to you. What about this? That's the nature of the material energy. You have to understand that's the way it works. In every moment, it's going on. Sometimes you ignore it. Sometimes you, oh, what's that you say? Every moment, the material energy is making propositions to your mind. Sometimes you're busy in devotional service, you don't notice it. Otherwise, you see it in the background, and sometimes these propositions surge into the foreground of your mind. Do you remember? Don't you want this? Be cool. Understand, this is the way Maya works. Don't freak out. What's this? I've been chanting Hare Krishna nicely for 2 whole days now. What's this? It's coming into my mind. No. Just understand, you're living in a material atmosphere. Maya is always going to be making these propositions. I'm sure it's not so in Pretoria, but other cities of the world, you know, they have sections of the city that if you're driving on the street in that section of the city, there's, you know, ladies who earn their livelihood by waiting on the side of the road and gesturing to you. That is not here right now, but other cities of the world. So, yeah, they are like, thank me. Because they want to do it in such a way that they don't make big attention for the police, you know, at the same time they want to do their occupation. So they're driving along slowly on the street. I think in Russia, where did I see this? They wait all on the highway. They wait. And by the exits as you drive off the highway, they're waiting, especially on a Friday night, and you're just driving, minding your own business, driving your car, and then drive off the highway, and someone's the other side of it. So, you just tolerate and keep on driving. So Maya's like that, always making these kind of propositions. Oh, it was in Poland I saw it, yes. That's where I saw it. Friday night, Saturday night, everywhere you drove, you know, on the highway, some ladies, usually they were from other countries and they were trying to earn a living. Russia or other Eastern European countries. And just keep driving. Don't even look. So, understand life in this world is going to be like that. You're always going to be propositioned by the illusion. Always trying to attract you. And you're a devotee. Ram, 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 ram. Don't stop for it. Keep driving. But don't become disturbed that these things are going on. That's the way the world is. Life is a battle between attraction for the illusion and attraction for Krishna. Understand that's what's going on, and take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of the holy name. The holy name will get sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. And it becomes stronger and stronger. But as a devotee becomes stronger and stronger, the devotee is always thinking, oh, I'm so weak, I'm so... If it wasn't for Krishna, I would be in deep in mind. Once Srila Prabhupada, speaking very charitably, said, that he said, the only difference between my disciples and me is that I'm always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. And my disciples have no fear of Maya. I'm always praying to Krishna, please don't let me fall down. That's the only difference between my disciples and me. And he's speaking very charitably, but he really felt that way. All right. That's a nice discussion we had. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to get to know all of you.